It's o'clock at 5 o'clock. This is On the Hour.
On the Hour. Such is politics.
It's a painful business.
On the Hour.
What you mustn't do in politics is listen to people.
It's a painful business.
On Radio 4. Such is politics.
Let us be proud of what we have accomplished.
On the Hour with Christopher Morris.
I'm Christopher Morris, and it's hello. The main stories on the hour tonight.
The headlines.
Is Linda Chalker false? No bones left in Europe, says scientist. And how tall is the royal family?
On the hour.
Plus, coming up, Margaret Thatcher confirms that she is to replace Sylvester McCoy as the new Doctor Who.
There has to come some time to make way for someone else. And I think this is the right time to do it.
And Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd explains why he's glad McCoy is to go.
He's an appalling failure, and he's committed many crimes.
And the news tonight is read by the continuity announcer.
The government has announced exceptions to the restricted ownership of dangerous dogs. It will now be legal to keep a pit bull terrier unregistered, provided it is less than 8 inches long. Full-sized animals are also to be allowed if they've been fitted with a rubber skull, and experts are looking at ways of teaching them to eat with a straw.
The news. And we've been ringing round veterinary surgeries to find an expert to comment on the effects of putting a rubber skull into a dog. To discuss the issue, with me on the other end of this telebalance unit is John Wills.
Ian Wills, actually.
Right. How effective would the new rubber jaw be?
Well, if the jaw is rubbery, then obviously the dog is going to be able to do less damage.
Wouldn't be able to bite a child's face off, then?
Well, unless the upper jaw and lower jaw are both rubbery, and I rather...
Rubbery.
The upper teeth, one imagines, could still do a fair amount.
It's to do with you. What about shaking itself dry?
Yes, one can see all sorts of problems. If it's really rubbery, it's going to end up knocking itself in the eye with its lower tooth. If the lower jaw is waving about too freely, then it shakes itself.
Flapping.
Who knows what's going to happen.
On the Hour, modern yet palatable news presentation.
The news. A United Nations delegation in Iraq has uncovered another threat to world safety. In a secret factory near Baghdad, they discovered Saddam's henchmen with a lidded pan of hot water on a burning gas stove. Had we failed to uncover this pan, said a spokesman, it could have boiled over, seriously scalding someone's inner wrist, or put out the pilot light, creating a nasty, gassy smell. And now sport.
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. Cricket, and a shock result at Lord's today when Glamorgan defeated Middlesex. I spoke to Graham Gooch in the pavilion.
Well, Graham Gooch, all out for 36. That was quick, you must be pleased.
No, it's the lowest score on record, actually, Alan. We're very disappointed.
I heard talk in the shower room that you had trouble in the groin department.
No, my groin is functioning 100%, thank you, Alan. 100%.
Golf news now. And the British Open reached its climax this afternoon at Turnberry. I spoke to Seve Ballesteros in the clubhouse.
Seve Ballesteros, it's all over, you're back in the bar. What went wrong?
Oh, well, nothing go wrong. I don't think you quite understand the principle of golf, which is that if I hit less shots, I'm back in the clubhouse very quickly. It's very good.
A lot of people been talking about your groin strain. I understand there's been a few snags, a few stretches there.
What people is this who are talking about a strain? Because it's not true.
Seve Ballesteros. Over at Hickstead for the show jumping now, and I grabbed a few moments with Lucinda Green.
Lucinda Green, you stayed on your horse all the way round. You must be pretty chuffed.
Well, I stayed on, but I had a very low score, so I'm feeling I can do a lot better next time, I hope.
Yeah, but still, you hit all the right fences. One thing that sort of troubles me is your groin strain. How bad is it? Any torn ligaments? I've been told it's a bit like a guitar string snapping.
No. I don't have any strain of that sort.
Surely the taking off the landing, there must be a strange kind of pressure on the groinal area. I was wondering how the kind of you cope with the impact.
Yeah, I think you've got the wrong rider. I don't have any groin strain at all.
How do you deal with the inevitable muscular spasms and pains that must rack the groinal area?
I don't have any pain whatsoever.
I love the sense of humour you got there. Listen, have a can of Ralgex on Alan Partridge. I'll spray it on. Thanks.
On the Hour. never balks at issues from which other news programmes might well shrink.
Our extended feature package today has been supplied by the Consumer Unit, who are on the fourth floor. It's hosted by James Tinker.
Your things. It's to do with you.
Good morning, and a very good morning to you. From me, Jimmy Tinker, say good morning, and me, Maureen Yube. Good morning to you, Maureen. And I'd like to say welcome aboard, everybody. Nice to have you about the craft. Good morning, and of course, good is what it's all about on Your Things, doing good. In fact, on my way in, I came across an old man wearing rags and drinking Brasso from a tin, and although I was in a terrific rush for this mess of a programme, I did actually find time to kick the tin from his mouth and give him a few sensible thoughts on what a bad example he was setting the children.
Doing good, doing good, goody, 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 good, good, good.
JT and Maureen Yube with Your Things. Haven't had a lot to do this morning, have you, Maureen?
Well, no, I was...
Well, not much time in the programme for the bit we call Peasants, where we allow you, the public, to have a go at righting some wrongs. And here to deal with it is our peasant captain, John Cartridge. Good morning, John. How's John?
Good morning, James.
Arthur... Good morning. Our first peasant wrote to us with a complaint about yogurt pot morality. After some cajoling, I actually got her to read it out herself so that she felt really in charge. And here's how we got on. Hello, peasant. Read this.
Okay. Dear peasants, although I'm a shallow, pated, proletarian imbecile, brackets, listen to how badly I'm reading, I've managed to come up with a question. What's happened to the flange on yogurt pots? Used to be possible to reseal them by carefully crimping the foil lid back over the rim. Now the lips completely disappeared and the top's made of plastic, which you couldn't bend properly even if you bloody well wanted to. Can't anything be done? Yours, Brian Sell.
And so we set out to solve the problem. And it wasn't too long before we found a yogurt pot man, a Mr. Dullard, and started asking him questions.
Right, Mr. Dullard, what can you tell us about yogurt pots?
Well, they seem to be very much as before, to my point, you know.
Right,
I'll do this, but you're obviously struggling. What can you tell us about the flanges on yogurt pots?
Well, no, you can do nothing, really, you know.
Are you not avoiding the issue?
No, you know, it's satisfied with the...
Could you put that gun away?
Pardon?
Stop hitting me with that bit of lead, ow.
Well, no, I don't see nothing. No.
Well, understandably, after that spectacular botch job from the peasant, there was very little I could do to rescue the situation.
Sorry, peasant, it looks like you messed that up.
Well, at least I got a chance to air my views. That's the important thing.
No, it isn't. I am. Now go away.
Righto, thanks very much all the same.
Yeah, go on. Off you go.
Thanks very much, then. Goodbye.
And thanks very much indeed to John Cartridge. And that's what we've got time for this week on Your Thing. So, it's goodbye from me, JT, and it's goodbye to goodbye from Maureen, too. Goodbye.
Oh, Sunday, you and we, the philosophy of the BBC. The premise that makes this programme tick is that we are clever and you are thick. And we never for a moment stop to contemplate how being caring on the radio makes us look great. And we're very concerned about all your problems, because if they ever got solved, we'd lose our jobs.
On the Hour, the world in a tablet.
In 13 seconds' time, prayer desk, but first, the Polish philosopher Kosowary Ludez died today, aged 89. He advanced the controversial idea that government should always be regarded as culpable in its relation to the individual, but will perhaps be best remembered for his 1960s novelty record, Mr. Twaddle's Enchanted Gloves.
The Lord is like a dishwasher, and we are like some dirty plates. But it's God's love that washes us, not water. And God is an omnipresent, all-seeing force, not a time-saving household appliance.
Monsignor Traub Lopez. In a moment, this week's audio pullout. Later in the programme, the other microphone will be used to interview a politician. And today's funny story. A rich man has bought an old lavatory. That's all coming up.
The Colour Supplement. 5 glossy minutes of radio for you to keep all week. The Colour Supplement.
A room of my own.
Michael Hammond is serving 15 years in Wormwood Scrubs for having an Irish grandmother. He lives in a room as compact as it is subtly lit.
I think of this room as being very much my room, even though it's Barry's room as well. And Keith's. And Tim's. And Neil's. And usually we have Graham, the serial killer, in here as well, but he's in solitary at the moment for killing David. And Peter and Stephen. Well, they call it solitary, but there's eight of them in there.
On the wall by the coyly petite window, an arresting mural of startling photographic images meets the eye.
Yeah, Barry cuts them out of his magazines. I used to have a postcard of Chartres Cathedral up there, but Barry took it down. He said there wasn't enough totty in it.
On the Victorian table stands Michael's kettle. Modernist in design, it is a stark chrome challenge to the past.
It's a stark chrome challenge to making tea as well. Hasn't been the same since Graham the serial killer hit George, Charlie, Terry, Mick, Keith, Bill, Ron, Brian and Rog over the head with it. They haven't been the same since either, come to think of it.
And next week, In My Pants Drawer, when award-winning playwright David Mamet analyses his underwear and explains why his brown and blue striped M&S Y-fronts have a special place in his heart.
And now, Cartoon Frolics with Peanuts, featuring good old Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown?
Yes, Linus?
Growing up is like a visit to the dentist. The pain of anticipation is naught compared to the agony of actuality.
Yeah, but there's no anesthetic for life.
This Peanuts cartoon is now available in the 517th Charles M. Schulz compilation, You're Not Funny Anymore, Charlie Brown.
Advertisement featured.
A marvellous collection of glass statuettes of British Prime Ministers. James Callaghan pictured here actual size. This limited edition of 150,000 statuettes was executed in individual lucite moulds. Order the first five statuettes now and receive absolutely free this beautiful porcelain Sir Alec Douglas Hume skull ashtray.
The Colour Supplement Celebrity Questionnaire. What is your name?
Keith Floyd, chef and bon vivant.
What is your favourite letter in the Greek alphabet?
Oh, God, I love them all. Apart from pi. I suppose the best would have to be lambda. God knows, I couldn't tell you why.
What is your favourite crop parasite?
The sarcoptic mange mite.
Which 13th century English bishop do you most admire?
Robert Grosseteste, Bishop of Lincoln.
And do you think anyone listening is seriously interested in any of your opinions about anything?
Good Lord, tough one.
On the hour. The audio pullout is now complete.
just having a rather funny conversation with the man at the third machine behind the glass about his front door. Welcome back to On the Hour.
Reports coming up over the next 38 minutes. The St. Thomas's cutlery dispute goes into its seventh day.
Well, it just seems an appalling way to react over three-fourths.
And why the piano world has gone ape over Godfrey the chimpanzee.
I haven't seen anything like it. We just sat him on the stool and he started playing.
America now, and hysterical courtroom scenes as disgraced televangelist Jim Tubbard was sentenced to a total of 120 years imprisonment and 7 hours community service to run concurrently. Tubbard pleaded guilty to 3 counts of heinous embezzlement and 5 of agitated drug trafficking, but still maintained he was innocent because he had forgiven himself. Later, looking grey and ashen-faced, he emerged from the courtroom to greet his followers with a confession to further charges of bad parking and mass terrorism. Thousands of Tubbard supporters responded with cries of, "Never mind, Jim, have some more of our money."
On the hour.
Time now for further coverage of the hostage release story. Our man watching him arrive at RAF Neville is Malcolm Box.
And you join me here on the tarmac. The plane has landed, and we can see the hostage. There he is. He might be about to emerge. With me is an ex-hostage. Now, I suppose he is more likely to emerge now than he was while the plane was flying.
Yes.
Now, we know there was food on the plane, a choice of chicken or pasta.
Yeah.
What is the more likely choice of a just having been released hostage?
Well, in fact,
we've implanted a camera in his stomach. The correct answer is chicken.
Chicken.
And there he is emerging. He's waving his arm. It's his right arm, in fact.
Hello.
Tell me, ex-hostage, is that the more usual choice of arm for a man just 6 hours out of a 5-year spell in a foreign jail?
I suppose it depends if he's right or left-handed.
Well, what a fine sense of humor you ex-hostages display in spite of the deep psychological scars which consign you to a future lifetime of torment and anguish. And there he descends now to meet the reception committee and a warm welcome from his friends and colleagues, who are, of course, journalists.
This beaver has kept the vigil for 5 years. Do you want to lick her hip? Do you want to lick her hip?
Will you not be the gob?
On the hour, holding up a net in the strong breeze.
Finance news, the Minister for 11 says 7 today, Corbyn Knuckleherkel 5, up plenty, decisive ingrowth rebound a half, and the FTSE index closed down, shut, finished, good. Trial news, and the trial's been going on today, a summary now from our man on the scene.
About what time did the trial begin?
About 14:30 hours local. The judge was in attendance. He's a rather portly chap, about 75 years of age. Should be retired long ago.
What's the white line for?
Well, the white line is to guide him from the lost horizon to the far horizon, to the far end.
And the worm-shaped horse?
Very, very slow at the moment.
What do you make of the artist's drawing showing the proceedings today?
Absolutely abominable. I wouldn't put my grandmother's shirt on it.
Who exactly is on trial?
Well, I can't say, really. It's all MI5. And the smaller ones are MI2.5.
Who did it?
We don't know. It could be Black Mike.
And the sentence?
5 years associated with England cricket team, with all fares paid, and a large amount of duty free. He'll probably last about 2.5 years.
Will the guilty man step forward? The guns are loaded.
Hello, fall over here, two men. March this man away. Take him out of the dock. I don't want to be bothered.
On the hour, the time 50-50-50-50. And now our special report on caring in the community. What is it? What's happening to it? A report from Kevin Smear.
Tonight, On the Hour looks at care in the community. What is it? What's happening to it? Virginia Rumbelow, Junior Health Minister.
I'd like to think that we're taking care out of the public domain and into the private. We're giving people the right to care within their own homes. Now, I personally don't care, but that's my privilege.
I am in the home of Lionel Cosgrove in Glossop in Sheffield, Derbyshire. Lionel, I believe this isn't the only home you've ever lived in.
I've had about 24, and about 12 this year. I was first moved when I was 12, and I'm now 14.
But I believe that the social services who have moved you are not, in fact, government-funded social services. Is this true?
They wear grey boiler suits, and they're the men from Securicare.
Securicare made a very, very successful bid for the removal of children from home to home. And I hope very much that we have more businesses like this who will take it into their hands to say, yes, I feel I could move that child.
Yeah, well, they come in normally late at night and gag me so that my sobs and crying doesn't disturb people. I think that's quite a good idea. They then take me downstairs and hit my foster parents a bit. I have to sign a form and give them £20, which is like the commission and their expenses and things. They then put me in the van and take me away.
An isolated incident or just the tip of the iceberg? Gordon Parnell is the chief warden of Fallen Leaves Residential Home for the Elderly in Preston. Mr. Parnell, how long have you been the warden here?
I've been a warden here approximately 2 years.
But I understand this wasn't the actual job you applied to the council for.
I applied originally to become a zookeeper.
What do you say to these allegations in the local press that you bound and gag your charges with rubber and that you shoot them with a drug gun?
Certainly, let me just answer the allegation. All the people thinking, oh dear, oh dear. You know, Gordon is using some sort of dart injector gun, which is what it is, against, you know, my relatives. What's he doing? And let me assure you, the guns are very accurate. Very accurate indeed. So if anyone's worried about their relatives, I just assure them that, all right, we'll let them loose, we'll let them run around, but as soon as they get to the perimeter grounds, the two perimeters, as soon as they get past the first one, I stop them with a gun. And there's no possibility of them getting out without their relatives' permission. That's what I want to make clear.
In real terms, there is 33% more caring in 1991 than there was 10 years ago, and that's a vast increase in the amount of care.
33% is an estimated projection of caring.
Well, I say realistically we could drop it down to 25% in real terms.
I think 20% in real terms would be more accurate.
Well, 23% would be better.
I'll settle for 21, but no higher.
Our company, our market research company, actually scouted a lot of people in a shopping centre in Ealing recently, and we came up with 25%. Now, that's a much higher percentage than we had before. An increase of 20%.
Yes, but I have some figures relating to your market research company, which proves that your market research company are wrong 87% of the time.
And who are these impartial observers? What percentage do they come up with?
They came up with a figure of approximately 6% importance.
Approximately to me as much as you like, young man. It's not going to mean anything to me. Approximate is not a word in my language.
Well, you've just been using it.
I love old people. I have fun with old people. I amuse old people.
Mr. Pennell, you also kill old people.
I don't kill them. They're dying anyway. It makes no odds. You think you come here in your glasses and your shirt and think you know it all. You can come in here with as many inspectors as you like, but I tell you something, you won't walk out.
Is that a threat, Mr. Pennell?
No, you'll slip or something. It's very messy.
Can you tell me why it's so messy in your rest home, Mr. Pennell?
Because they're sick everywhere!
Where does the money go, Mr. Pennell?
If they're sick, they should clean it up themselves!
Do you not think that your position as a junior health minister must be questionable at this moment?
Yes, I do.
So can we expect a resignation soon?
Yes, you most certainly can.
Can we have it now?
Would you like it now in writing?
Virginia Rumbelow, ex-Junior Health Minister of State. Thank you very much.
Yes!
Kevin Smear with that rather disturbing report.
On the Hour. Serious news programming with the ability to remain broad-minded.
Since last week's health campaign, we've been overwhelmed with letters asking for more information. So if you're worried about catching a disease, we've prepared a special prophylactic pack. Write to On The Hour and ask for the Don't Catch a Disease face suit. Filters out plagues and illnesses before they can get through your face. Special triple-wadded filters clamp tightly over vulnerable intakes like the nose and mouth. Dense swathes of gauze and muslin swaddle your frontispiece, and the head jacket is secured with staples to the ears, nasal septum and eyelids. A disinfectant reservoir ensures that every 5 minutes the facial cloak is perfused with 7 litres of strong sterilizing fluid. With a choice of 3 tweed coverings, the face suit makes an attractive fashion accessory for cultural evenings or top-level international peace treaty summits. And you'll be setting a good example too. A large head placard proclaims, "I'm wearing a special germ-excluding face suit so I don't catch a disease." And the address for the face suit and your comments about issues raised by the programme is On The Hour, BBC Broadcasting House, London W1A 1AA. And that's just about it for this lunchtime. Next week, On The Hour will be coming live from Edinburgh for full coverage of the festival.
We're not going.
We're not going. Why?
On The Hour.
And just time to have a look at tomorrow's papers. The Times, shaved swan builds link road. There's a photograph there of a pot of glue. The Express, web-digging fortnight suspended. The Guardian, thieving wasp leaves thousands homeless. While The Mirror have Bishop's broken lip in biscuit horror. And The Sun opting for bungalow tenor in adult recognition siege. And don't forget, as from Monday, all taxis in London will be carrying bicycles free of charge. That's it. I'm Christopher Morris. You're not.